Now on Radio 4, it's time for the first in a series of mysteries featuring Thackeray, the gardener cum sleuth.
Thackeray by Olwyn Wymark and Barbara Clegg. With Michael Cochran as Thackeray, John Hartley as George, and Margaret John as Miss Birch. Episode 1, Battle Cry.
What's wrong, Jim?
They got the ending wrong. 9 times out of 10, that happens. There should be a clear pause before the very last note.
Bomb. Bomb. Oh, right. I see.
Honestly, George, how anyone can sleep through the Sibelius Fifth Symphony...
I was up at 6, you know.
So? I was up at 5:30.
Yes, but you always are, aren't you?
Yep. Miss Birch got me onto it.
Appalling habit. I've always thought there was something superhuman about Miss Birch.
Got a bit lazy since you retired, eh, Superintendent Field?
Just missed her, thanks. No, only more human. We go off at Junction 54, you know.
Yeah, I know. We just passed 52. Gail's train isn't till noon. We'll be in time for some breakfast.
Hey, how are you on black pudding? It's a Saturday morning special at my mother-in-law's.
I quite like it. Has Shirley been staying up here the whole Easter holes?
Well, she said she thought her ma was feeling lonely. Well, I think it was just a ruse to get out of coming to my lectures at the police academy.
Did she tell you if Brian is staying over Sunday?
Oh, she didn't mention it. Couldn't you have asked Bryony?
Communication not so hot at the moment.
Oh? I got the impression from Shirley that you two were having something of an entente cordiale.
No, wishful thinking. Shirley's always trying to matchmake Brownie and me back together again.
She'll probably succeed. Determined woman, my wife.
I wish to God she could. My nightmare's Brownie asking for an actual divorce, suddenly deciding to marry some man over there.
I shouldn't worry. All those Paris designers are fairies. Watch out, Junction 54 ahead.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm signalling.
We want the A4117. It goes off down there below the... Oh, my God. Look at that traffic.
He said 9 at the latest.
It's only 5:30, Bri.
He'll be here, Mum.
Of course he will. Always a man of his word, James. Oh, do try some black pudding, Shirley.
You know I hate it, Mother.
It's nice. Lovely.
You see, Brian, he likes it.
Well, I've always known just by looking at it that I wouldn't.
Me too. Yuck. Sorry, Daisy.
Oh, that's all right. I wish you were staying for the pageant this afternoon, Gail.
Oh, they'd hate you calling it a pageant. It's an authentic historical recreation. We don't have to go to it, do we?
Of course we do. I've got tickets and we'll take a picnic. Why back to school on Saturday instead of Monday?
Auditions for the play. We're doing Midsummer Night's Dream. I want to play Puck.
Well, if you do, George and I will come down and see it. When will it be on?
Not till October. But Madame Katrova wants us to do some text work on it before the summer holiday.
Oh, God, how I remember Shakespeare with Madame Katrova when I was at Waverley. Wonderful.
I'll make a bit more toast, shall I? Dick Hughes is probably coming by this morning, Shirley. He's bringing me some pansy plants.
I was so sorry about Amy.
Oh, he was absolutely shattered. I still can't believe she's gone.
Amy Hughes was Mother's goddaughter. Leukemia. Only 50.
Oh, God, how awful.
You won't be going back to Paris till tomorrow evening, will you, Bri?
Depends what flight I can get on. I've got a new cutter coming in Monday morning.
That'll be Dad. I'll go.
About time.
Daisy, it's Mr. Hughes.
Where the hell is James?
Bloody hell, we're going to be hours in this.
I can't understand it. Who are all these people pouring into North Wales? Easter's over.
Brian is going to be furious with me. And I forgot the bloody mobile. Oh, George, isn't there a back way?
There's a little road about 10 miles before Rhythm. Huh? Long way round, but better than this. Oh, of course, I forgot. It's the Battle Cry lot.
Thackeray and Birch, landscape gardening and private investigation.
Oh, good. I thought you mightn't be in on Saturday, Miss Birch. It's Bryony. Would you know what time James left this morning?
Well, the intention was 6:30. You've rung the flat?
Nobody there.
I'll telephone Dave. He'll know about any change of plan. I'd try Mr. Thackeray on his mobile, but I'm afraid he's left it in the office.
My God! Talk about potholes. This is more like an excavation site than a road, George.
Well, slow down, Jim. You don't want to do your shock absorbers in. Now, mind, this is a very sharp curve coming up.
Good God! Well, first time I've ever seen a road blocked by a herd of chaps in chainmail. So this is them, is it? The Battle Cry lot?
Well, the Welsh contingent. That's Glendower's white and gold banner. I expect the English army's up at Rhythm Castle.
And does he go on for the whole weekend?
No, only the afternoon and evening, usually. Depends how long the battle they're recreating took.
Very weird hobby, dressing up and fighting old wars. Seems quite loopy to me.
Oh, they take it very seriously. Every detail of medieval history researched, you can bet.
They don't fight with real weapons.
Oh, yes, I believe so. Pikes and swords and bows and arrows sort of thing.
Really?
All very authentic. But there's always St. John's ambulance chaps lined up.
Well, here we go.
Gail, have you got all your stuff ready? Can I use your car, Shirley?
Can't we wait a little longer for Dad?
It's only 1 hour and 10 minutes to Liverpool, Bri. It's not 9:45 yet.
We don't know what the traffic's like, do we? I'm absolutely furious with James. All right, 10:00, and then we leave.
You should have called the police, Dick.
No, he's too posh to shoot me. Local aristocrat slaughters lowly accountant.
You're not a bit lowly, and you know it. Oh, he's such a repulsive little man.
Oh, don't give the Honourable Douglas Green another thought, Daisy. He's all wind, really.
Now, I know you've been worried about this. I've noticed.
Oh, not about him. I've had some stupid problems at the office lately. Did you know Green's quite big in battle cry?
No, is he?
In charge of all the archers, both sides.
Oh, of course, he runs that National Archery Society. I'd forgotten. Oh, these pansies are wonderful, Dick. I've never seen such colours.
They're called antique shades in the catalogue. Amy discovered them.
Bless her dear heart.
You're a great comfort to me, Daisy. What with both boys working abroad. I say boys.
As far as I'm concerned, you're a boy yourself. Tell me, how's your instruction going?
Oh, he's such a nice man, Father Cassidy. He makes me laugh. He always calls the Protestants the boys. Do you think I'm a great fool doing this, Daisy?
Well, of course I don't. It would make her so happy. You never got her into chapel, and now here she is getting you to Rome. Oh, Dick, there, my dear.
I can't get used to her being gone.
Oh, now here they are. Excuse me, Dick. They're here.
Hello, Daisy.
George.
Hello, Dick. Nice to see you.
Hello, George. You well?
Gail, ready to go?
Here I am, Dad. Hi, Uncle George.
Yeah, hello, sweetheart. Well, goodbye, really.
What took you so long?
Owen Glendower and his chums.
Unbelievable traffic. Gridlock on the A4117. Must be a real crowd of them this year.
Nearly 500.
Dear heaven.
Dick, this is Bryony, James's wife.
Hello. How do you do?
Bye, Daisy. Thanks for everything.
Oh, you know I love having you, my dear, any time.
Bye, Gail, dear.
Bye, Aunt Shirley. Bye-bye, Mum.
Oh, goodbye, my honeybee. I hope you get the part. Don't forget to give Madame Kudrova my love.
Come on, Gail!
Oh, you'll be fine, Jim. All the traffic's the other way.
Oh, dear. Now I won't see her again till July.
Oh, why doesn't she do the Maybank holiday in Paris?
Well, that's a good idea.
So how's retirement, George? Been thinking about it myself lately.
I can't decide if I love it or hate it. At least I finally got time for the garden.
Says the man with the black thumb. Mm. Hello, darling. How did the lectures go?
Oh, sensational. The best thing about police cadets is they always laugh at your jokes.
Are there really 500 people in the battle, Craddock?
There are. It'll really be something. I'm just a man at arms. Blink and you'll miss me. I don't even appear till the very end when we're storming Ruthin Castle and dragging Lord Grey out. Ilanoch vi Thunion, ear guard!
What's that?
Follow me, men, into battle.
What's happening now, Father Cassidy?
Well, the Welsh won that skirmish. The English are retiring back to the castle.
How can they tell who won? They were all over the place.
Well, probably it's who's got the most casualties.
Those ones they're dragging from the field, are they the dead?
That's right. Or the wounded.
Once you're killed, you have to stay dead.
Well, I expect the keen ones just jump back in again and go on fighting.
Some of them really are wounded.
Mm.
Look at that man. He's bleeding.
Don't worry. They'll take him off to the first aid tent.
Hello!
Oh, good. Oh, here's James.
They'll catch your train.
Yes, in loads of time. Who's winning?
Don't ask me.
It's a lull. They're gearing up for the next bit. The English are regrouping back in the castle.
Oh, I must say, it looks pretty terrific from here.
Here, my dear, we saved you some sandwiches.
Oh, thanks, Desi.
Want a glass of wine?
Yes, please. Well, where's Glendower's lot?
Behind that hill over there. They'll be making another attack in a minute or so.
Father Cassidy knows more about it than any of us, and he isn't English or Welsh.
But I am a Celt. That's why they put me on the Welsh side.
Well, you're not actually battling, I hope, men of the cloth.
Not at all. I just come on at the very end and bless the victorious troops.
Did you and Gail have a nice drive?
Very nice. We talked about Shakespeare, and all sorts. Does it sound very smug to say she's a most remarkable girl?
No, it sounds lovely. And it's true.
Did you think some more about the three of us going on holiday together?
Don't, James, please. I know it's not a good idea.
It started again. Yep, the binoculars, Mother.
Daughter.
But that's Dick up on the hill with a banner. I thought he wasn't on till the end.
My God, look at that. They're shooting those arrows straight at him.
It's crazy.
He must be rubber-tipped, surely.
He could still lose an eye.
He's down.
Dick's got a bad heart. I hope he's not really hurt.
Well, he's one of the dead now. They're dragging him off.
Here come the English.
Oh, my goodness, they've brought up an ambulance.
I'll get down there and see what's happening.
Let him through, please. Let him through.
Thanks very much, Dr. Price. May I come with you in the ambulance?
Of course. Hop in, Father. Up you come.
I'll get my car and meet you at the hospital.
Right-o, Dr. Price.
Don't try and talk to me. You'll be all right. Lie still now.
Too soon. Too soon.
What's that?
What is it, Dick? What are you trying to say?
Compass. Wrong. Wrong. Compass.
He's wondering, Father.
Thanks so much, Dr. Price. About half an hour, yes. Goodbye. He's going to come over.
How's Dick?
They had to operate.
Operate? Not a heart attack, then?
No, one of those arrows was driven right in, Lisa.
How horrible.
Dick still hasn't come round from the anaesthetic.
Well, he wouldn't yet. I'm sure he'll be all right, Mother.
Yes. I think I'll just go out and see
her. Oh, poor Mother. She's awfully upset. I wonder if I should...
Leave her, Shirley. She'll find some job in the garden to take her mind off it.
I'll make some tea.
I'll give you a hand. I don't understand you about this holiday thing. You know Gail would like it.
No, I don't. And neither do you. We don't know what she's feeling about it all. She doesn't talk about it.
Yeah, all the more reason. Maybe she would if we could just...
I don't think we should push her, James.
What, laundry?
Hmm.
Well, he was probably delirious, you know.
He kept saying it. The ambulance woman thought he was worried about the blood.
A bit sad, that. I'm dropping by Mrs. Williams's house to give her a progress report on Dick. Perhaps you'd come with me.
Certainly, yes, I'd be glad to. Do you have any idea when they go and finish the battle, Dr. Price?
We can easily go past the site and find out.
I'd just like to know, will I still be required? You think he'll pull through all right, don't you? I saw you talking to the surgeon.
Well, the left lung was pierced and there was a good deal of bleeding into the pleural cavity. But they got to him quickly, so there's a good chance he'll recover, yes.
Pray God.
Blasted, horrible thing. Oh, come out, will you come out?
Daisy, Dr. Price and Father Cat... Oh, taking out that rhododendron?
Yes, I've dug all round the root, but... just won't come.
No, no, here, let me have a go. Let's have a look at this now. Why do you want it out?
It's got that awful Phytophthora. Look at the dieback. Hateful. Ah. I can't get rid of it, so I just thought I'd pull the damn thing up altogether. But now I can't do that, dieback.
Oh, now come on, Daisy. Come on, don't cry.
Sorry. No.
Ooh, no. Listen, I'll get Dave to come up and deal with this. He's a marvel at diseases.
Oh, thank you, James. You're very kind, but it's too much.
No.
Off away from London.
He'll be delighted. We've got a new Jeep and he loves driving it. He's got nothing else to do just now. Oh, I came out to say Dr. Price and Father Cassidy are here.
Well, what if he'd actually died? Would they still go ahead and finish the battle?
I bet they would. So heartless. More sherry, Dr. Price.
Oh, thank you.
Father Cassidy?
Not for me, thanks. Probably most of them out there don't even know Dick was badly hurt.
I don't know how any of them can tell what's going on anyway. All that noise and mess and confusion.
Like a real war, as you might say.
Well, that's true enough.
I must go and check on that casserole. Shall I put the leeks on now, Daisy?
Oh, thank you, dear.
I still don't understand them shooting straight at him that way.
Well, it seems the timing went wrong. Mr. Green was telling me.
Douglas Green?
Uh-huh.
The Honourable Douglas Green?
That's right. He's responsible for all the archers, you see.
He hated Dick. He threatened to kill him yesterday morning.
What?
Mother.
It's true. Dick told me he came to his house with a gun.
My God, a gun?
Dick said it was because he'd been out shooting, but he told me he was shouting and swearing at him.
Was it about the planning permission business?
Yes, it was. Douglas Green was livid about losing.
Green wanted to clear a field for the archery club, and it meant cutting down four very old trees. Dick organized a lot of us to protest and petition and all the rest of it. He was absolutely determined we'd save those trees, and we did.
But you wouldn't shoot somebody over some trees.
Well, Green's a bit of a fanatic.
He's a little dictator. He thinks he owns the village.
Supper's ready.
You'll stay, both of you, won't you?
We've made a huge stew.
Thanks very much.
I'm afraid I must be off.
Oh. I'll see you out. You will keep me posted about Dick, won't you? Oh, and I heard that Ivor Morgan was often ill again. He's been such a good friend to Dick since Amy died. Do give him my best wishes.
No, not laundry. It was laundering, Dick kept saying. I was telling Dr. Price about it. I couldn't think what Dick meant. He seemed really upset and distressed, but that was the only word I could catch. Laundering.
Well, money can be laundered.
Dick Hughes is an accountant. He's got quite a big firm in Liverpool.
Could you be mixed up in some kind of shady financial deal, I wonder?
Never, not Dick. That's a ridiculous idea.
Now, Mother, nobody's accusing him of anything.
I think he was just rambling from the pain, Mrs. Williams.
I've just got a feeling there may be a connection. I don't suppose there's any way you could do this over the weekend, Miss Birch.
Well, I can, in fact. I've a friend I can telephone in Chester this evening, recently retired from the Sears Fraud Office. There's almost nothing he doesn't know about the Liverpool business community.
Excellent.
I'll get back to you tomorrow, Mr. Thackeray. Now, it's Richard Hughes Limited, Chapel Street, Liverpool. Got that.
Got that, Mr. T. Turn off at Junction 54, take the A4117, and then follow the Carnarvon Road.
There's a big green barn where you turn off. And don't forget my mobile, will you? And leave early, Dave. Get Miss Birch to give you a wake-up call.
That? It's the middle of the night.
I'll get it. Might wake Mother.
Hello? Hello? Who is that? Oh, Dr. Price. Oh, no. No.
Oh, dear.
Very sorry to call you out on a Sunday morning, Dr. Price. Actually, the pain's gone off quite a bit. I was pretty frantic when I woke up this morning. I really shouldn't have bothered you.
Oh, no. You were quite right to phone me, Mr. Morgan. Spasms down the side of the face again.
Yes, starting just above the ear.
Well, there's not many painkillers that can touch that pain, I'm afraid. But I'll give you a prescription. Oh,
thank you. Tell me, how is Dick Hughes getting on? I heard about what happened.
Terrible.
I'm afraid he died about 2 hours ago.
Oh, I'm very, very sorry to hear that.
Yes, well, they thought he was going to be all right, but he had a heart attack in the night.
Oh, dear. But I was told he never regained consciousness after he was hit, so at least he won't have suffered too much.
Oh, he was conscious in the ambulance. Father Cassidy was with him. Nice chap. He told me Dick was raving all the way to the hospital.
Raving? What about?
About laundry, of all things.
Laundry? Why laundry?
Worried about the blood, I suppose. Poor chap. Well, I must be getting along. Oh, and Mrs. Williams asked me to give you her best.
Is it true she's got James Thackeray staying with her, the detective?
Yes, that's right.
I want to see him, Dr. Price. Could you tell him I need to talk to him?
I think Daisy expects us to bring the fella back with us in handcuffs. She's absolutely convinced it was murder.
She may be right.
What? Surely you don't think the Honourable Douglas Green killed Dick?
I don't know. But I am wondering if someone did.
For what possible motive?
I'm wondering that too. And I'm still wondering why Dick came out on that hill too early.
It was always quite clear. First trumpet call, archers shoot. Second trumpet call, Welsh troops up the hill and onto the field. Now, a careless mistake on Hugh's part that proved fatal. Naturally, I'm very sorry he's dead, but...
Are you, Mr. Green?
I beg your pardon?
I understand you were very angry with Dick Hughes for scotching your recent planning project.
I was annoyed about that, yes. He was very obstructive. In fact, I know he did it entirely out of malice. He didn't care about those trees. Eric Ling and I had spent a great deal of time and money on the application. It was quite infuriating to have a good plan come to nothing. But for you to imply that I'm not sorry about his death, frankly, Mr. Thackeray, I regard that as slanderous.
Do you? But didn't you pay him a threatening visit only 2 days ago?
Where did you hear that?
From him. He said you came to his house with a gun and that you were violently angry.
I never went to his house at all. That's a complete fabrication. Utterly and absolutely untrue.
I don't understand you, Jim. Why else would he deny it?
Well, the thing is, it's such a silly lie. If he really were a cold-blooded killer, he'd have more sense.
Even so, we should go to Rhythm and tell the police about it. I know the inspector there, Hopkins. He was on my force years ago. The hospital will have automatically reported an accidental death, but he ought to be told it could be murder.
There it is, the Green Barn.
Hello?
Hello, Mrs. Field. Dave here. Mr. T around?
Goodness, you must have left London early.
Oh, you're telling me. Miss Birch phoned me at 5:30.
Oh, poor Dave.
Yeah, the sun wasn't even... Bloody hell!
My God, what is it?
He's knocked the bugger down. I think he's killed him.
Hang on, Jim, look over there.
Where?
The battle site. Police cars. I expect that's where we'll find Hopkins.
Well, luckily they keep good records, Superintendent Field. Oh, sorry. I mean, mister, I can't get used to it. Do you miss the yard? I heard you retired to the country down there.
That's right. Yes, I do miss it a bit, but only very occasionally. So, you've got a list of all the archers?
Yes. Both sides. Douglas Green was very cooperative, as a matter of fact. We must have been out there just before you.
But you'll be taking him in for questioning. I mean, he was definitely lying about not threatening Dick Hughes.
Oh, yes. I've just sent two men back there now. They'll drive into the station at Ruthin. Oh, I must say, I'd be surprised if this turns out to be a homicide case. Mm-hmm. Just an unfortunate accident, I think.
Sir, the arrow's turned up.
Mr. Gareth M. Burton, Neath Cleed, Lane End, Llanfwrob.
Now, you're on volunteer first aid duty for battle cry.
That's correct, sir. I was, yes.
And when Mr. Hughes was brought in, you yourself pulled the arrow out of his chest.
I thought it was the right thing to do.
Did anyone see you do this?
No, sir. There was so much going on there.
But when you pulled it out, you noticed the sharp metal tip straight away?
Yes, sir. All the arrows are supposed to be blunted, you see. That's why I told Mr. Green about it after the end of the battle.
Mr. Douglas Green?
Yes, sir. He said it had probably just been a mistake and the best thing would be to burn the arrow. I said I would, but I got the idea of keeping it for a souvenir. Then this morning when I heard Mr. Hughes was dead, I thought I'd better turn it into the police.
You did absolutely right, Mr. Burton. And did you inform Mr. Green that you were going to do this?
No, sir. He thought I destroyed it, you see.
Could it have been one of his own arrows?
Oh, never. No, sir. He'd not use a sharp-end arrow in the battles. He was very upset when I told him.
Was he? Now, Mr. Burton, will you go along with PC Miles? He'll take your statement in writing.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
I'd say it's time for me to ask Mr. Green a few questions. I'd appreciate it if you both came with me as you've spoken to him this morning.
I'll join you in a bit, if I may.
I'll get you some hot sweet tea, Father Cassidy, for the shock. I won't be a minute.
Thanks, Mrs. Williams.
Oh, sit down, do. I'm so glad they brought you back here.
I'm afraid I'm just an added burden to Mrs. Williams. I know how upset she is about Dick's death.
Oh, believe me, it'll help her to have someone to look after. You don't think he actually meant to run you down?
Oh, I'm sure not. Just reckless driving.
He must have been doing nearly 60. You're a lucky man, Vicar. I was pretty sure you'd had it.
Well, you know, I jumped out of the way before I knew I was going to jump at all. Then flattened my face, of course.
Did you get the license number, Dave?
No time. But it was a white Mondeo, this year's model. He must have seen you go down. Why didn't he stop?
Couldn't be drunken driving, could it? Not at 10:30 in the morning.
Might be if he was in the battle cry thing. I bet they were up all night drinking after it.
Brownie?
Oh, just in time, James. We were about to leave for the airport.
Oh, well, I'll drive you.
Oh, no need, thanks. Shirley's taking me in their car.
No, I'd like to.
Go on, Bri. You and James haven't had any time at all this weekend.
No, honestly, it's okay. I'll go with you. Oh, we really should get a move on, Shirley. I'm supposed to be there an hour before.
We'd have to stop for petrol. The tank's almost empty and
And that'll take up time on a Sunday.
I know. We'll borrow your car, James. All right. Dave's here now, so you can use the Jeep till Shirley brings yours back.
Brownie.
No, go ahead. Take it.
Thanks, James. Bye. I'll be in touch.
Right. Have a good flight.
Oh, James, by the way, Dave had to bring Father Cassidy over. Somebody's just nearly killed him, running him down.
Yeah, man, but I couldn't see his face.
I didn't see anything myself, I'm afraid. It happened so fast.
Any other witnesses?
There was a woman walking her dog. I've got her name and address.
Thank you so much for your kindness, Mrs. Williams.
Oh, it is my pleasure.
I'll be off now. I've got Mass at noon. I'm fine now, truly.
I'm driving you to Ruthin, Father Cassidy. I could drop you.
Oh, my goodness, James, I forgot to tell you.
Huh?
Dr. Price phoned to say that Ivor Morgan's very anxious to see you.
Who's Ivor Morgan?
He's a banker. No, a merchant banker. He lives outside Ruthin. Absolutely magnificent gardens. He opens them to the public every year.
And he gives a lot of money to local charities. He's a very nice man and awfully generous.
Why would he want to see me?
Well, he was a friend of Dick's and one of his biggest clients.
Hit and run.
The more I think about it, yes. He swerved right up onto the footpath.
Hard to trace. Place this man, New White Monday, and no registration, and probably headed back to London. Thackeray here.
I think I've got everything you wanted, Mr. Thackeray.
Good.
Richard Hughes Limited is as clean as a whistle. However, a very rich import-export group has been putting some rather questionable deposits through a few small accounting firms in Liverpool and Chester.
Uh-huh.
He says he believes there's an investigation pending. But this group is legally very well barricaded indeed.
You're guessing that Dick Hughes' firm could be involved?
It seems not unlikely. It's a laundering exercise without doubt. Probably drug money. If by any chance Mr. Hughes had spotted it, he could have been in real danger. One of the big people involved is a man called Ling. A real shark, I understand.
Ling. Have you got any details on him, Miss Birch?
Oddly enough, it seems he has a weekend place somewhere up there in North Wales, and he's American. I'll see what else I can find out.
Mr. Thackeray? Do come in. I'm Ivor Morgan.
This is my assistant, Dave Helmsley. He was wondering if he could have a look round your gardens.
By all means.
Thanks. That's a terrific acacia Dale Barter.
What? Yes, yes, isn't it?
He shouldn't have been there at all, you see.
On the hill, you mean?
No, in that part of the battle. He was standing in for me.
Oh, I see.
I was ill on Saturday morning. I get a very severe neuralgia and I had to call the doctor. I was hoping it would go off before the battle began. Sometimes it only lasts a short time, but it got worse. So I telephoned Dick at lunchtime and asked him if he'd take over my part.
So that's why he was mixed up about the trumpet call cues?
I'm afraid so. I told him repeatedly, the second trumpet. I was sure he was clear on that.
I suppose, in all the excitement...
I suppose so. You can imagine how I feel. I'm responsible for Dick Hughes's death. But there's more to it, because... Mr. Thackeray, it should have been me on that hill. Someone was trying to kill me.
Oh, are you all right?
This bloody pain.
Can I get you anything?
No. No, thank you. It's only a spasm. It'll pass. Oh. Yes, I'm all right now. Oh, sorry.
No, please. Can you think of anyone who would want to kill you?
Yes. Mr. Thackeray, would you be willing to work for me in your capacity as a private detective?
Can you tell me a little more about this?
It concerns an American organization I very foolishly took on some business with last year. It was an exceedingly profitable deal, but I deeply and bitterly regret becoming involved. To be absolutely honest with you, I had an inkling that they might be on the wrong side of the law, but I'm ashamed to say I went along with it. I've recently discovered that there are mafia connections.
Mafia?
He's very annoyed indeed. Like a little turkey cock.
Here he comes.
You will certainly be hearing from my lawyers, Inspector.
I'll look forward to that, Mr. Green.
This is not a joking matter. To be held by the police for hours like some kind of common criminal.
I'll get one of my men to drive you home, Mr. Green.
Indeed you will not. I want no more police cars at my house, thank you very much. I shall take a taxi. And I warn you, one of my members has friends in government. He was one of the English archers yesterday and will be very angry about this. I will certainly be informing Eric Ling about this, you may be sure. Good day, gentlemen.
Wait a minute. What did he say? Mr. Green, stop. Can you go any faster, Dave?
You bet, Mr. T.
You're saying you think this Eric Ling meant to kill Evo Morgan? I don't get it, Jim.
No, I'm not altogether positive. I get it myself. But we have to talk to Mr. Ling. As for Morgan, I don't know, something about his story. It all seemed a shade overheated.
Well, I'd be overheated myself if the Mafia were involved.
Yes, if...
Irwine, Mr. T, isn't that the turnoff?
That's it, Irwine. About a quarter mile up the road, Green said.
Right.
You still haven't told me what Miss Birch told you about this.
What the hell? A white Mondeo, Mr. T.
Turn around, Dave. Follow him. Oh, Dave, not too fast. We don't want you to know we're following him. Here, George.
Yeah?
Get Hopkins on the phone.
And say what?
Tell him to get some men to Evo Morgan's place. I'm pretty sure that's where Ling's heading.
God, of course. Give me Inspector Hopkins. It's urgent.
You were right, Mr. T. He's just turned off on the road we took out to Morgan's place this morning.
Did Hopkins say how long they'd be?
He put in a call to the station at Langenhavel. They're sending cars. They'll be there in 15 minutes or so.
We'll be there in 5.
Park out here, Dave.
Righto.
We can't wait for the police, Jim. Morgan's in danger. Come on.
Stay behind the trees.
Look, the front door's open.
And the engine's running in the Mondeo, ready for a quick getaway.
Yep.
Oh, we have to do something, Jim.
Look, here he comes. That must be Ling.
Oh, God, we're too late.
Why is he opening the boot?
Well, maybe he's going to stir the body in it.
Well, what's funny about it? You're probably right.
I'll go back and block the drive with the Jeep.
Hang on, Eric. I've got one more case.
It's Morgan.
Well, get a move on, for shit's sake.
All packed up and ready to fit. I say, Mr. Ling.
Jim, what the devil are you doing? Come back.
Who's there?
Introduce us, Mr. Morgan.
Thackeray.
Get in the car, Morgan, now.
Oh, it was true enough that Morgan asked Dick to stand in for him. But he told him that his cue was not the second, but the first trumpet call.
So when he came up onto the hill, Ling shot to kill.
Yes.
Though how he could count on a bow and arrow to do the job.
Come on, George. Think of Robin Hood.
Yes, quite right. A bow and arrow could be as lethal as any gun.
Especially with a razor-sharp middle tip.
Oh, don't. I can't bear it.
Oh, sorry, Mrs. Williams. Listen, come over and look what I've done to your rhododendron. I've cut off all the deadwood, and I've treated the roots. You'll need to do it again in about 10 days' time. And there's going to be 40 doors.
What a sweetheart that, Dave. Oh, I'll go.
Wait a minute, Jimbo. Do you think Dick knew that Ling and Morgan were laundering big money through his firm? Was he involved himself?
No, I'm sure he wasn't. But I think he must have caught on and then told Morgan he knew.
Which is when Morgan and Eric Ling decided to kill him.
Right. And then when Morgan heard that Dick had been raving to Father Cassidy about laundering, they really got the wind up.
And decided to kill him too.
Well, I think that probably wasn't planned. Just a sudden impulse on Ling's part.
Charming fella. You know, what I still don't understand is why Morgan told you the truth about getting Dick to stand in for him. And said he wanted to employ you as a detective.
Oh, just to put me off the track temporarily. If it hadn't been for the Honourable Douglas Green, Morgan and Ling will be out of the country by now.
James!
Yeah?
It's Gail.
That's terrific. I'm so pleased. Good girl. I'll phone your mother and tell her you got the part.
That's okay, Dad. I already have.
Oh, right.
She phoned me and told me this morning.
Oh, did she?
Yes. Oh, James, she sounded so happy.
Yes, she did. At about 9 years old, yes.
Complete with stammer.
Yes.
James?
Yes?
About that holiday. I think I've changed my mind.
Oh, good.
But we have to make a solemn vow not to fight.
Oh, absolutely. Ihr God.
Ihr God. In Battle Cry, episode 1 of Thackeray, Thackeray was played by Michael Cochrane, George was played by John Hartley, and Miss Birch was played by Margaret John. Shirley was Doreen Mantle, Bryony was Melanie Walters, Gail was Charlotte Bird, and Dave was Richard Lomas. Daisy was Margaret John. Father Cassidy was James Green, Dick was Terry Dauncey, Morgan was Howell Evans, and Dr. Price was Gwynvaughn Jones. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Thackeray was written by Olwyn Wymark and Barbara Clegg and directed in Wales by Alison Hindle.
Episode of Thackeray, George arranges for Thackeray to take on a landscaping job in the foothills of the Dolomites. It should be a pleasant break from routine, but not only does the German landowner have a peculiar yen for an English garden to be recreated in Italy, but consultation's difficult as he seems to have disappeared. When his car turns up at the bottom of a ravine, the police suspect everyone, the housekeeper, the chauffeur, the local ex-resistance fighter, even the victim's widow. But it takes Thackeray to solve who's really guilty, with the help of Miss Birch and her classical education. This blessed plot can be heard next Wednesday at 2:00.